on The Lasting Supper, also known as TLSers. Today I'm talking with Wade Bomer, also known as Static San on The Lasting Supper main website, and I'm speaking to him in Sydney, Australia.
Hello, Mr. Haywood.
Hello, Wade. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. All the way in Australia.
Yes, all across, what, 15 time zones?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's nighttime for you.
It is Wednesday evening here at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. So it's 8:30 a.m. here on Wednesday. So how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually feeling really happy for some reason. But that's okay. It seems to be really happy.
Yeah. Is this an unusual occurrence or what?
taking a Skype call? Yeah, it is a bit unusual, but...
No. I mean being happy.
I knew you were asking that.
Oh, okay.
Some days it is, yeah. But I realized I've been thinking about this call for a couple of days,
uh-huh.
And one of the things that occurred to me early today was that one of the things I have learned in the last couple of years is to take joy in the smallest of things.
Right.
Whatever makes me happy, whatever makes me laugh, whatever I enjoy, basically.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a number of things today that I've particularly taken joy in. And so that's really good.
So, Wade, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? What, for example, how did you find your way to the Lasting Supper, and why did you join?
I've discovered the Lasting Supper from a friend of mine who had been basically subscribing to the Naked Pastor blog for quite a while.
Oh, okay.
And heard about the Lasting Supper, but had never found the time or the impetus to sign up for it himself.
Uh-huh.
So I started looking at the Naked Pastor, and then I can't remember what drove me to sign up to the Lasting Supper. I know that at the time I was just starting to learn about the emergent church and all of the things that happen when somebody starts switching from moving from evangelical to emergent or progressive. And
right.
I later found out that the friend in question, he was the music pastor or creative ministries coordinator. The title tends to change sometimes at the church I was going to. And I discovered, well, he was, I knew that then, but I discovered much later that he was, rather progressive in his thinking, possibly in response to what he'd been observing on the comic, and so he clashed a little bit with the senior pastor, who was very conservative.
Huh.
And I didn't know that for a long time. So for a couple of different journeys, I found someone on the TLS recommended the book Pagan Christianity.
Oh yeah,
which I found very, very interesting. I've been
Is that Frank Viola's book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, good book. I found other books, like some rummaging around in Wikipedia about the history of Israel and the archaeology and how the various books of the Bible were put together.
Mm-hmm.
I found a book called The Bible Unearthed by Israel Finkelstein and Neil Silberman.
Right.
That's a little bit contentious in some circles, I later discovered, but also very, very illuminating and sort of made me rethink about what is touted as the historical veracity of the Old Testament,
uh-huh.
which is kind of actually nothing of the sort. Also along the way, I was having some doubts about what I believed, but also about how that appeared in practice. I have described that elsewhere as noticing that church teaching goes around in circles. So every 3 to 5 years in a church, they kind of go back to the same topics and not so much start again, but try and find new ways of talking about them. And it was really Viola's book that showed that to me.
Right.
Now, I'd dabbled for a long time. Well, not really dabbled, but shown an interest in spiritual things that were outside of what the church taught. For a long time, that was merely an awareness. So I knew about tarot cards. I knew about, what evangelicals and fundamentalists call it demonic possession, but I knew there was a lot more to it than that.
Right.
I played Dungeons and Dragons on and off, and some of the very fundamentalists like to really deride that, which has no basis at all.
Uh-huh.
I have and still am an avid fantasy reader. That's fiction for many, many years. And one of the core attributes of most fantasy works is that it's an invented world, and there's often magic or sorcery or something like that.
Right.
So I got exposed to a lot of different ways of thinking about how a world could be created. And some of the best authors, particularly ones that might have a dozen novels under their belt in the same world, have put a lot of thought into it, often as much as some of the best Christian theologians.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very good at analyzing what I was trying to understand, what I was trying to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of had a revelation in one of my Bible studies. And the silly thing is I later went back to the passage we were reading and couldn't find any bearing on what had happened. It was actually the last chapter in Zechariah. This is a very difficult book to study. But I got I was wrestling with what the church had taught as was, this is what Christianity is. And this really was really coming out when you study a book like Zechariah, because there's lots of prescribed meanings, which is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a strong experience near the end of that Bible study where I felt God telling me, you want to step outside what the church teaches and see what other spirituality there is, you go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You go see what there is, find out, go wherever you like. I'll still be here if you come back, and I may even come with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real turning point.
Right.
A couple of times I've been back to churches and listened and tried to understand what they're teaching and their point of view. And it's very hard to find a church that isn't conservative evangelical in my part of Sydney, which is a shame.
You're in Sydney?
I'm in Sydney, Australia, okay. Yeah.
Well, what is your church background? What kind of denomination?
My church background is I grew up in a Baptist church, okay. Which was not really anything like what Americans would understand as Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Baptist churches in Australia tend to be a lot more like Church of Christ churches in America.
Okay.
And some of them tend to be a little bit more charismatic. So the one I grew up in was slightly charismatic.
Uh-huh.
What I moved to when I was 12 was perhaps a shade less so, but still basically conservative evangelical, which is the modern term.
Uh-huh.
Probably about 11 or 12 years ago, I decided to leave that one because I was late 20s and my parents were still going there. So I needed to get out of the shadow of my parents in some aspects. And so I found another church that I had some friends already going to, including someone I used to go to high school with, although he's now moved on. And that was a Church of Christ, which
mm-hmm.
liturgically speaking is almost identical to a Baptist church here in Australia.
Okay.
So I've been indoctrinated in conservative evangelicalism since I was very small.
Yeah. So that's quite a radical, if you say you sensed God saying to you, go and explore other spiritualities and I'll be here when you get back, or I might even come with you. That's not a typical evangelical thing for God to say.
It's in some ways, it's a very charismatic thing to say. And I couldn't say I dabbled with charismatic churches, but I'd been to a couple for special events. Like there was a couple of really big charismatic churches around Australia that hold rallies, and
Hillsong?
Hillsong is one of them, yes. Yep. Hillsong is basically across Sydney from us.
Oh, okay.
They have – I used to know someone who actually worked for them. I haven't been in their current building, but I've been in where they used to be. That's enormous.
Yeah.
They would just to give people an idea of how big they are, for them to drop $2 million on a new sound system is basically chicken feet.
Yeah.
That's how big they are.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, they will have tens of thousands of people every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
In six or eight services. That's
yeah.
Anyways.
So where has your explorations taken you? What have you found that's of value to you now?
I found a couple of different things that's of value to me. Learning about progressive Christianity is one of them. So that's basically come from books at the moment,
right.
Discussions on the Lasting Supper,
mm-hmm.
but also an awareness of, an awareness of what I think should be a more Jesus-lined response to social issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right on the edge of getting more involved in some social political aspects.
Right.
So we've got some. There was a rally in Sydney and a march about 2 months ago, protesting the extreme right actions of the federal government. There's going to be another one in 3 weeks,
uh-huh.
and they'll probably have a lot more people, and there'll probably be lots of talk on Twitter and Facebook about how the mainstream media is ignoring them. But the truth of the matter is that this is the sort of thing that I think Christians should be getting upset about.
Uh-huh.
A lot of current social issues that we're having in discussions in the current climate in Australia, and the church tends to sort of sit on its hands.
Right.
We have a really big feisty argument at the moment over immigration controls and people trying to get to Australia by boat, usually from Indonesia. And what's kind of galling at the moment is that the current federal immigration minister is my local federal member, and it's a pretty safe seat,
uh-huh.
in the election, which is, galling to say the least.
Uh-huh.
There were so you can see that there's distinct odds there, and I wish there's a whole lot of people that I've had contact with over the years who I kind of want to shake by the neck and say, you voted for him, didn't you? And if they say, yeah, well, then you deserve a hit in the head.
Yeah.
Because he seems to be a rather nasty piece of work, which is – that's just one example. There's a lot of other things, mm-hmm. but that's kind of one of the really visible ones.
Hey, Wade, you mentioned your parents. How has your change of beliefs, or the way you live out your beliefs, has that affected your family relationships and friendships?
Unlike most people in the Lasting Supper who have been pushed out of a church or jumped.
Yeah.
I've kind of walked away.
Right.
It's been a lot more gradual. There's very, very few people at the church I've left that know what I'm doing. One of those left herself for a variety of complicated reasons, and I don't see her anywhere near enough because she lives in another state.
Mm-hmm.
Another was the ex worship minister, who I also don't talk with often enough, but we could sit and chew the fat for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one or two other people that kind of have an idea, and I've been willing to share a bit about that. But generally they've just kind of decided to forget me. I see a little bit of exchange happening on Facebook, but there's no real connection. Mm-hmm. My parents would be probably the last people I would tell about my spiritual journey.
Uh-huh.
And I had a friend from another group of people who, I guess she's probably about 10 or 15 years ahead of me on this same sort of journey.
Uh-huh.
She grew up in a Salvation Army family and for a long time was basically pagan herself. And she admitted to me that her grandparents are the one set of people that she would never, ever tell where she's gone spiritually.
Uh-huh.
Just to give you an example of what would happen if I tried to talk to my parents about what my beliefs were like, I happened to mention at some gathering, it was my sister's birthday, about 5-6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
We were at a restaurant eating, so there was six of us, five of us, because my sister had a fiance at the time. And for some reason we were talking about playing cards. Now, I'm the sort of person who will find something interesting and research the history about it. So I happen to know that the history of playing cards and the history of tarot cards are actually closely intertwined.
Hmm.
So I made a comment about the fact that tarot cards have a different set of suites than playing cards. This is nothing more than a historical artifact, piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Mum shut the conversation down.
Yeah, how would you know that? She
immediately changed the subject.
Yeah.
So simply because I'd mentioned tarot cards.
Yeah.
So that confirmed to me that there are a lot of things I can't tell my parents.
Well, have you had to make new friends, and have you been able to do that? Or
yeah, I have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of the things that I have begun exploring, as people who've been on the TLS a while may remember, is Wicca and potentially witchcraft. And this tends to conjure up, for people who haven't done any exploration, this tends to conjure up.
Excuse the pun.
Yes, excuse the pun. Yeah, I didn't think of that. this tends to bring up the ideas of either satanic practices, if they're depending on how fundamentalist their education has been,
mm-hmm.
or kind of disbelief on based around either sitcom television or well, not necessarily sitcom, but fantasy TV such as Charmed or going back further Bewitched, or just me. Occasionally, you'll find some people who simply just the idea just won't fit in their head. But the truth is a lot more. It's different to both,
uh-huh.
basically. I've had a tarot reading. I have spoken to people who are all sorts of different pagans for all manner of reasons. I found a group of people who do full moon circles.
Right.
And started making friends there. The difficulty with them is that they are hard to get to without a car, and my car is in for major surgery at the moment. So, I have seen them elsewhere at other places, like in the local shopping centre, and we've been friendly, and they're a great bunch of people.
How do you try to integrate this with your Christian beliefs, or are they other? Completely other and separate.
I haven't deliberately tried to do one or the other,
mm-hmm.
But I've been very aware of where they intersect in some way, in some means.
Right.
I mentioned about a year ago in my spirituality blog, The Left Hand of Belief, about how I stepped out from under the Christian guilt, and that's the one. That basically boils down to all men are sinners and need saving.
Uh-huh.
I can't take that on board at the moment.
Uh-huh.
I struggle to sing certain Christian songs, a lot of Christian songs. I tend to argue with the preacher in my notes at a church service because I can't put myself back under that Christian guilt. Another way to put it, as I've described it, is this is someone who's coming to tell you that you're ill, and hey, presto, who's got this medicine as well? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I recognize that there's no reason why I can't regard Yahweh as just one more god in a pantheon of untold thousands, if not millions. I've been on two full moon circles where we've spoken to two very different gods. And oft times people there, because we have guided meditation as a central part of the circle, and oft times other people there will talk about meeting other gods in there, which is really quite interesting. For a while, I felt that one of the Celtic gods, Cununos, had a bit of an interest in me, but it was really different. It was really different to having Yahweh have an interest in me. At least twice, I felt him by my side, Yahweh, that is, in a church service, and once I could feel him laughing at the church service, and the other time I could feel him angry at the church service. The two different churches. So I think I'm integrating them, but I think I'm letting them integrate in a way.
Right.
One of the books that I really admire is a book called Path of a Christian Witch by Adelina St. Clair. And she describes how she was raised as a Catholic and then discovered Wicca and witchcraft. And she managed to syncretize them together, put them together. And I know of other people. There's a particular person on Tumblr called Christo Witch who puts them together as well, her own way, and often has arguments in the post on Tumblr about people who can't understand how she could do that.
Yeah.
But it's extremely Wiccan to be able to figure out what spirituality means to you and how to make it work.
Yeah.
I'm very much still in the phase of how does it work? How can it work for me? And this is a really daunting task.
So, Wade, our time's pretty much up. I just want to know, like, your story is very fascinating, and I love.
Yeah, I could probably talk for a long time.
Yeah, your input on the Lasting Supper is always interesting, and I'm always fascinated by your posts and comments and so on. You know, from your experiences outside of normal, what we would call normal Christianity and everything, but. Just before we go, I was wondering if there's anything that you really wanted to say or something that you wanted to say to your fellow TLSers or before we go?
Apart from everything that I've just said in the last half an hour, there's not really – most of which I did want to share in some manner of form, obviously.
Cool.
There isn't really anything specific. Just don't make too much fun of my accent, I guess. Not that that's terribly likely. But I guess really it's great to have a place like TLS where out of mainstream spiritual journeys are tolerated and honoured and respected, and people give encouragement about where you're going, even if that's not their road.
Yeah.
That's something that the Christian church, really struggles to do.
Well, yeah, or does it even? You know, does it even try? That's the question.
It thinks it does. Yeah. It thinks it does, but it really doesn't.
Mm. Well, listen, Wade, I really appreciate talking with you, and I love, like I said, I already said I love your input on TLS, and I really do think a lot of people are going to resonate with a lot of what you said today. So I'm looking forward to getting this up on our site, hopefully later today, and I'll see you at the Lasting Supper. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Okay, bye. Well, hey, everyone, that was Wade Bomer, also known as Static San on The Lasting Supper, and speaking all the way from Sydney, Australia. It was a great conversation, very interesting. And listen, if you want to have a conversation with me and take part in a Meet a Member podcast, just let me know and we'll get you up here. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you at The Lasting Supper. Bye for now.